ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
चैप्टर भगवद्गीता टेक्स्ट नंबर 16।
अहम् क्रतुरहम् यज्ञः स्वदाहमहमौषधम् मन्त्रोऽहमहमेवाज्यम् अहमग्निरहम् हुतम्।
बट् इट् इस् ऐ हू एम् द रिचुवल्, I, the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire and the offering. So, text number 16 to 25, Krishna is explaining the faults of indirect worship. Text number 16 to 25, Krishna is describing the faults of indirect worship. Or, Krishna is helping us to understand how He is the supreme object of all worship through these verses. See, till now, if you carefully observe the verses, how they were flowing, in the 11th shloka he said, Avajananti Mam Mudha. People do not know who am I. They think I am an ordinary man. And then in the 12th shloka he said, those who think I am an ordinary man, Moga Sha Moga Karmana Moga Jnana Vichetasa. All their hopes for liberation, knowledge, everything is baffled, he said. Then he told about Mahatmas, those who are real Mahatmas, devotees of Krishna who know him. Then he told the quality of Mahatmas, which is Satatam Kirtayan Toma Yatan Tasidadabhutaha. So two verses he talked about Duratma, two verses he spoke about Mahatma, and then what was the next verse he spoke? Then the intersecting point he spoke about Jnana Yajnana Chapinne Yatan Toma Mupaste. Three kinds of impersonalness. And after telling about them, now Krishna comes here to tell people between 16 to 25 that what is the need of wasting your valuable time in all these different practices of Ekatvena, Pratakvena, Vahudha, Vishwatvamukham, all that. Rather we just worship me directly. That's what Krishna is going to say in these verses, 16 to 25. And you will see that every one of these verses indirectly indicating to this one verse, Jnana Yajnana Chapyanne. You will see that they all are connected to this one main verse. Because in that main verse, he explains three categories of people. And whatever activities those three categories of people do, Krishna is going to show them that ultimately whatever you are doing for me indirectly. Why don't you do it directly? That's what he is going to establish in these verses. See, here he is saying, Aham Kratuhu. Kratuhu is a Vedic ritual. Aham Yajnaha. I am the sacrifice. Swadha means the oblations offered into the fire. Aham Aushadam, I am the healing herb. Mantraha, the transcendental chant. Aham I. So, Ajyam, the melted butter, that is ghee. And Aham Agnihi, I am that fire also. Aham Hutam, I am that offering. So, in this way, Krishna here is talking about those who are worshipping demigods by offering sacrifices. They worship demigods and they perform regularly Agnihotra sacrifices. Like in homes also they perform for Indra, Chandra, Varuna, like that, different devatas. So Krishna is telling them that every one of these things that you use for performing the sacrifice, that is me. How he says it's me? It's my energy. That's the meaning actually. So these are all my own energies which you are using. If you remember, there is another verse which is studied. Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavir, Brahmagnav, Brahmanahutam, Brahmaivatena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. So this verse is full of Brahma, Brahma. What is this meaning of Brahma? Brahma has many meanings. Brahmarpanam, Brahma Havir, Brahmagnam. He is saying that when a person is performing, like Krishna consciousness, for example, from Krishna consciousness example, it's very easy to understand. For example, in this room, everything is Krishna in one sense in this room. How? This curtain. Curtain is Krishna's energy that is used for Krishna worship. The altar that is made for Krishna to sit. That is also Krishna. And Shishi Radha Krishna, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, Gaur Nithai. Either they are Krishna directly or they are expansions of Krishna like that. Or if you see all the devotees, they all are also Krishna's energies, Krishna's superior energy. They all are part and parcel, living entities. So they are also connected to Krishna. And what about the material energies, the bulbs and the fan and everything? They are also Krishna's inferior energy. So they are also connected to Krishna. Especially if even inferior energy is used in Krishna's service, that is spiritualized. Just like iron rod becomes fiery by putting in fire. Similarly, the material energy can be spiritualized by utilizing in Krishna's service. In this way, everything in this room can be seen in relation to Krishna, isn't it? That's why this verse comes. Brahmarpanam, Brahma Havir, Brahma Agnav, Brahmana Hutam. Everything can be spiritualized like that. Prabhupada explains that. Similarly, he says here, all the things that the Karmakandi Brahmanas use in their sacrifice, they all are actually coming from me. Where do they get the grass, Dhruva grass, or where do they get the summit sticks? Where do they get the fire from? How do they make the yajna kund? Where do they get the ghee? So they all are my own energies, Krishna is saying. How can they take my energies and not remember me? They're taking from me and they're supposed to use it for my service, but they have forgotten me completely. So through this verse, Krishna is trying to remind them. I used to give this example often, just like a wealthy landlord. A very, very wealthy man. He has a big bungalow of his own. But he gives the outhouse to a watchman. He keeps the watchman there, he gives him food, he gives him clothing, gives him shelter, gives him nice residence. But the watchman doesn't serve the master. Every morning he gets up and he eats his food and he has his own program to do. So what do you think this master will do? Two things he will do. One is, first he will give him some slight punishment, isn't it? If he still doesn't take that punishment seriously, then he has to kick him out from the job, isn't it? So that is the condition of all the living entities in this world. So we all actually belong to Krishna, and we have come to this world because we didn't want to serve him. And even in this world, we are taking everything from him. That's why I told you outhouse. Which is outhouse? Material world is outhouse. We are not dear children. We are not in the position of dear children now at this stage. When you come to the material world, it's like outhouse. He has given a place. Still, even in the material world also, we can serve the Lord. There are so many ways to understand him. You can understand him through the scriptures. You can understand him from the devotees. You can understand him when you go to temples. Lord comes in various forms. And one can understand the Lord. And one can understand that I have a duty to serve him. But then, there are many people, they just don't care for God. They say, I don't have to worry about God. They are in their own ways of materialistic engagements. So such people, that's why they get punishment. The nature is very cruel. Nature will not keep quiet. The nature will punish them. The sufferings come when one ignores one's duty. And one neglects one's duty. Even in your office, you see, your boss has allotted a time for you to come to office. You just go 1 hour late without seeking permission. What do you think will happen? The boss not become angry with you? Isn't it? Even in our materialistic situations, you can see. If you go late, or if you are neglectful, he has given you a task to finish within a week. And even after 2 weeks, you haven't done anything. You are just in your own world. You are just in a dream world. The boss comes and asks you, what happened to the work I gave you to finish in a week? No, don't disturb me. I am planning to build a house. I am just planning for it in my mind. So boss will tell you, you can do all your work. Don't be daydreaming. Do your job, isn't it? So the soul is now dreaming very nicely in this world. So Krishna is asking, what about your duty towards me? And soul says, no, I have so many things to accomplish in life. I am busy. Busy in what? Busy in chasing after the mirage of this world. We are chasing after so many things in this world. So Krishna is here telling these Brahmins who are doing yajna, majority of them worship the devatas, different devatas. So he is asking here, All these things are his own energies, Lord's energies. Somebody may say, why the Lord is so proud that he is declaring everything to be his own and demanding such worship. You heard this famous song?
Ami vina bandhu ara ke ache tumara jiva jago jiva jago gaura chandra bole kota nidra jao maya pisachi rakole bajimo boliya yese samsare vitare बोलिया रोहिले तुमी अविद्यार भरे एने ची औषधि माया नशी बरोलागी हरि नाम महामंत्र लाओ तुमी मागी
है ना. द सेकंड पार्ट ऑफ द सॉन्ग इज इट अनि बिना बंधुआरा क्या थे तुम्हारा. Here the Lord is asking, without me who can be your bandhu? Who can be your better friend than me? You fool. He is calling the living entity. You foolish living entity. When I am telling you to worship me, you are thinking that I am proud. How foolish you are. Who can be a better friend than me for you? I am your most intimate friend. Who is sitting right next to you in the heart? I am sitting right next to you. The Lord is saying, in your heart I am seated. And every time you took a body of a worm or a cockroach or a dog or a cat or a human being in any body, I have been following you. I have been always coming with you. I have been eager to give you this message. But you always ignored me. You never turned towards me. And I have never lost patience. I have been always accompanying you. Now, for the first time, you are slowly turning towards me and I want to give this knowledge to you. Take it. So in this way, the Lord is very eager to awaken the living entity. To help him realize that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. So he is our well-wisher. Just like a father, sometimes, you know, once a father told his son who was working far away, he was working abroad. So the son was going abroad, he thought, now I am going to get a lot of money and I can enjoy life. I am going to America now. So he was very happy. And a letter came from his father. The very first letter the father told, my dear son, very nice, you have finished your MS now. And you have got a nice job in America. But my first instruction to you is, give all your salary to your uncle who is living in America. You should, whatever expenses you want, you should take it from him and give him the list of expenditure. He told him. Then when the son saw this, you know, he kept his hand and he said, my Lord, I just look at this father. Of course, he was an obedient son and he had to give all the money to his uncle. But he was cursing himself. See, this father is so bad. I was thinking I can take this money and enjoy, you know, I could booze, I could smoke, I could enjoy with women, I could do many things. But he has taken away all the money. So why did the father tell him to give the money to uncle? Anybody knows? Yeah. Ah, so that he will not misuse it. Yeah. In the same way, in the Shastra also it is said, offer the dhanya, the grains that you get into the Vishnu, the fire, that is, offer it into the Yajna Kund. They offer silk, they offer ghee, all the things that are accumulated. Otherwise they will simply gratify their senses and grow stouter and stouter to enjoy their senses more and more. So you offer it to Vishnu, it is said. Similarly, as this father told, you hand it over to your uncle and then take only whatever minimum you need, he said. Similarly, the devotees of God are actually messengers of Krishna who are here in the form of tax collectors. They come to collect taxes from you. So devotees ask money, don't be frightened. Who are devotees? Krishna's tax collectors. Krishna's servants who are tax collectors. So just like the father told, give all the money to your uncle, otherwise you will misuse it. Isn't it? That's why the father told. But then later on when the son became a very righteous son and you know, he was giving all the money to his uncle after several years of giving money to uncle very faithfully and loyally, the father was very happy. Then the father said, now we can give the money with you. No problem. Because the son wasn't misusing at all. In fact, he used to spend only the minimum. And the rest of it he was saving. And without his father telling him, he was sending it all to his father. You understand this? Similarly, a devotee, as he grows in Krishna consciousness, he takes minimum for his bodily sustenance. He takes only whatever is minimum required. And he uses everything in Krishna service. like that. And now Krishna did not tell him, show me how much you earned, how much are you giving me. He doesn't have to say that. Because the devotee has, everything for Krishna service only. Like that. In this way, Krishna is here telling, aham kritraham, all these things is telling why. Because he feels that these living entities are foolishly performing so many yajnas. For what purpose? They want to go to heaven. And they are imagining, they are thinking that I am going to enjoy forever. As Krishna explains earlier in the second chapter, yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadantya avipaschitaha vedavadarata patananyadasti tivalinaha kamatmana swargapara janma karma phalapradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogaishwarya gatim prati bhoga aishwarya gatim prati. So these living entities are doing these things for bhoga and aishwarya, for enjoying sense gratification and increasing material opulence. But Krishna knows that they are going to suffer by this route. So he is telling them, don't go through that route, you just surrender to me directly. See, this is the secret he is revealing. You see, in the Vedas, even in the demigod worship, a seed of Krishna's name is kept. It's not that demigod worship is allowed just like that. Otherwise people will continuously, now you do worship, go to heaven, come back. Again you enjoy life, you perform yajna, go to heaven and you come back. So they will be revolving in this cycle again and again. But Lord has very intelligently kept the seed of the holy name even in these mantras. Harihi Om. That's the first word. When they begin the chanting, any pujari when he chants, you will see he begins with this. And after that they may chant other names. Samno Mitra Samvaruna Samno Bhavatvaryama Samna Indro Brihaspati Samno Vishnudurukkamah. There also Vishnu is there. Namaste Vayu Tvamevam Pratyaksham Brahmasi. So they chant Brahma's name, they chant Vayu's name, they chant Indra Chandra, all these names. But the first word is Harihi Om. So this is like a bitter pill coated with sugar. Isn't it? When you take a pill, it may be sweet, but it also has a medicine in it. Sometimes the mother feeds medicine like that to the child. Isn't it? Similarly, they don't want to pay tax to the Prime Minister directly. Prime Minister says, your tax is 10,000 rupees. Isn't it? But then they say, how can we pay this tax? Maybe we should go to some minister and pay only 5,000 and give some 1,000 rupees bribe to this minister. Then in 6,000 job will be done. Like that. Similarly, Krishna says, Sarvadaman Parityajya, he says. That is like asking for 10,000 rupees. The community says, my Lord, how can I give up everything? You know, people feel that they have to maintain all these things. How can I give up meat eating? How can I give up gambling? Gambling is my main profession, people think. How can I give up intoxication? How can I give up illicit sex? It's impossible for them. So they think, is there any smaller way, any another route available? There are many other routes. If you worship Durga, you can cut a goat and eat, isn't it? Or if you perform this yajna, you can continue to enjoy. Krishna says, you know, bhoga, aishwarya, all these things you give up. And you work for my enjoyment. That is Krishna's demand. Living entities wonder, what is this? Why Lord is saying, I cannot enjoy? Something wrong somewhere. Why can't I enjoy? So they can't completely surrender. It's like paying the full tax to the Lord. It's difficult for them. So there is an indirect route. What is the indirect route? Worshipping demigods, performing yajna, and all these things. And the Lord is very intelligent. He says, okay, you cannot worship me directly. Okay, worship me indirectly. But in that Lord gives the holy name. So let them get little benefit. That's why the Vedas are considered to be like a mother. Mother is so intelligent. Whatever a child needs, she knows. Like I've seen mothers, how they feed the children food, you know. Sometimes the children would be always, you know, moving the mother's hand. Sometimes they show the moon, you know, look at the moon and then they feed the child. You seen that? Very intelligent. Very tactfully they will feed the child. Because the child doesn't eat food, he will suffer. So she knows that. In the same way, the Vedas are also considered to be mother because they want everyone to surrender to Krishna directly. That's what they want. But if you cannot do that, then they teach you many things. That's why in those days the Brahmanas were expert in two fields. One was they were expert in health, medical treatment, and they're expert in telling you the future. Because these are two things which every conditioned soul is interested about. Every conditioned soul wants to know how I can improve my health. Is there any kayakalpa I can remain young forever? People want to remain young forever. Or they want to know about future. Can you see my hands? In the train, so many people have caught me. They ask me, do you know? They ask. When they see me, they ask me, do you know palmistry? Can you? So I tell them, I know only one thing. Anybody can show me their hand, I can tell you one thing. That you will suffer birth, old age, disease and death. Four things are for sure. No? Everyone has to undergo. Without even checking your lines, I can tell you that. Isn't it? So the Brahmana just learn these things. So they would attract the people, and then once they come, then they would tell them, see, your lines are crooked, you know. Better you perform a yajna, you know, they will inspire them. If you do this yajna, you know, it will be all right. Then they will agree to do the yajna. What happens in yajna? Hari, he, om. First time they chant the name of Hari. By chanting that. So somehow or other, knowingly and unknowingly, they chant Hari's name. And immediately the spiritual life has begun. Spiritual means in a very small way, you know, in a very small way. And then they chant different demigods' names, they get the benefit also. They worship different devatas. And they get the benefits. And then by getting the benefits, they will enjoy for some time, and gradually they can progress. Like, you know, going to holy places, taking a dip in the holy river, or giving the hair for Balaji. People do such things, doing upavas on certain days, and celebrating festivals and offering flowers to the Lord on some specific days. People generally do only during festivals. Other days, many people, they don't worship God. Do they do in Maharashtra, Gudi Padwa Day, they worship the Lord on Gudi Padwa Day? Do they worship? Isn't it?
They worship that.
Some festival days they get to worship the Lord. Sankranti, Lakshmi Puja, Narayan Puja, whatever, Satyanarayan Puja. Yeah. So occasionally people worship like this and perform some yajna. But Krishna is here giving the clue for them also. Krishna wants to give a try. See, everything is given by me only. This is my energies. Aham katuhu, aham yajna, swadaham, aham aushadam. Mantroham. The mantra also is me only. All these are manifested from me only. Why don't you worship me directly? Just like we say, Vasudeva para Veda, Vasudeva para Makaha, Vasudeva para Yoga, Vasudeva para Kriya. See, the Kriya. Vasudeva param Jnanam, Vasudeva param Tapah, Vasudeva paro Yoga, paro Dharma, Vasudeva para Gati. That it said, Krishna is Vasudeva para Veda, Krishna is the Vedas. Krishna is the Makha, means Yajna, which is spoken here. Vasudeva para Makaha, para Yoga, para Kriya, Karmakan. Vasudeva param Jnanam, for the Jnanis. If you consider knowledge to be supreme, that is also Vasudeva is the supreme knowledge. And if you are a tapasvi, by tapasya Vasudeva is to be attained ultimately. And if you want to know if you are a dharmanishtha, if you are a swadharmanishtha, the ultimate dharma is to worship Vasudeva. And if you want to know the gati, ultimate gati is also Vasudeva. So in this way it is, same thing is said by Krishna here, that by saying this, Krishna is trying to inspire them to surrender to him directly, instead of surrendering indirectly, like this. Also, these people, Prabhupada explains that the Panchapasana which was explaining, Prabhupada explains that it goes in stages. The lowest worshippers are called as Shaktas. Shaktas are the Shakti worshippers. Even those who worship the country, or even those who worship the energy, material energy, they are called as Shaktas. Like Prabhupada includes the scientists also in that. Scientists are also worshipping the material energy. All the time in the laboratory they are manipulating matter. How many elements they have? We have 105 now, it's 110. I don't know, we have found out 120 elements now. Mendeley's periodic table. They are finding out the elements. Or they are manipulating uranium-232 or whatever and trying to, you know, create some nuclear bomb. They're manipulating matter always. All the time testing in test tubes and everything. So they're manipulating matter. So Prabhupada says that they are also Shaktas in one sense, because they are worshippers of material energy. All their whole focus is only on material energy, only. And these are certainly lower category, but there are direct worshippers of Shakti. They are also called as Shaktas, Durga Devi, those who worship Durga. So those people also have their own yajna which they perform, they cut the goat and everything. But their mentality is certainly not pure. Actually, there are people who worship God out of fear, or out of duty, or out of desire, or ultimately out of love. So these kinds of worshippers of Shakti are certainly not pure worshippers. If any of you is worshipping Shakti, please don't take it in a personal way, because I was worshipping Shakti also for a long time. I was worshipping Shakti and Shiva for quite some time. So Prabhupada tells a story about Shakti. He says there was a Shakti worshipper who promised Shakti that if this thing happens in my life, I will give you a goat. And then it actually happened in his life. But he didn't offer her a goat. Months, 2 months passed away. And then Durga Devi came in his dream and asked him, where is the goat that you promised me? You know. But he said, oh, how can I offer a goat? I don't have much money. And I am also very busy. Then she said, at least you should offer me a pig. Why didn't you offer me a pig? And he said, yes, it's agreed, I'll do that. And then he didn't do it. And again some months passed away. Again she demanded, what happened to the offering? You promised me you didn't offer. And he said, no, that is also too much. That's too costly, I can't offer that also. And she said, how can you be so ungrateful? Why, at least you should offer me a fly, something small at least. You are not offering anything. Then he said, okay, you want a fly? There are so many flies around you, why don't you pick one? Yeah, so coolly. See the kind of ungratefulness these people have. Even in that worship also, they don't do it properly. As soon as their goal is accomplished, finished. They stop the worship. Many of them actually, many of the worshippers of Shakti also, they specifically pray, give me gold, give me silver, give me wealth, you know, give me property, you know, or give me good health. So they specifically ask for these kind of things, very openly. There is no shyness in that. They directly ask, these are the things that I want from you. Yeah. And she gives them also. There are prayers for that. So these are considered the lowest shaktas. And above them are the Ganapatyas, those who worship Ganapati. And above them are the Sauras. Sauras are the worshippers of Surya. And above them are the Shaivites. And above them are the Vaishnava worshippers. So why this level is kept, you will observe that gradually as you go higher and higher, the worship becomes, they are evolving gradually. When they come to the Vaishnava worship, the kind of worship they do is altogether different. They cannot offer a goat to Vishnu. You will never hear that somebody offered a goat to Vishnu. Their worship is they have to offer, even to Shiva, you will see, even to Shiva they offer this. What leaf is that? Bell leaf and some water they offer. Only for Shakti they offer the goat, like that. And for Vishnu you will find they will offer the tulasi leaf, they will offer flowers, and fruits and milk and all the vegetarian items they offer like that. But these Vaishnavas are not actually the kind of Vaishnavas that we talk about often. Purposely these are impure Vaishnavas. Why they are called impure materialistic Vaishnavas? Because they have a notion that this Panchopasana which they do, any one of the five worship they do, this is like you can worship any one of them. Their understanding is that the absolute truth is impersonal Brahman and is manifesting in these five different forms. That's what they understand. That's their wrong notion that they maintain. That all these five forms can be worshipped. Ultimately, you can worship any one of them.
So imagine that they have been manifested.
Yeah. They imagine that this form is necessary for our worship. And they feel that at one stage you can give up the form also. You can give up the mantra also, you can give up the form also. And then you merge into God or you merge into Brahman like that. So, this kind of people also perform yajna, sacrifice. Even Rudrasur performed, Vrikasur, Basmasur performed yajna for Shiva, isn't it? So all five of them perform yajna, sacrifice. So Krishna says, although you are performing sacrifice for these different devatas, behind all of them I am there. Aham kratu, aham yajna, sadaham ahoshtam. After saying this, the next verse Krishna will say that also. So behind all these devatas, who is there? Krishna says, I am present. So regarding Krishna, it's very important for one to have a proper understanding that Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from Him everything else manifests. Even the Brahman comes from Krishna, impersonal Brahman. Even all the Vishnus come from Krishna. All the devatas are jivas whom Krishna has appointed as administrators of the universe. Like that. Ultimately Krishna stands supreme. And Krishna has no birth nor death. He appears in the world just like sun rises in the east and sets in the west. And Krishna doesn't have a material body. It's very important. Let me ask a question If anybody answers this question precisely, then we can understand that they clearly know the difference between Krishna and the demigods. At one time, Indra became a, you know, Indra became a pig. You all know that? Isn't it? Also, Lord Krishna, he appears as Varaha Avatar. Now, the question is, I would like to know five differences between the Varaha Avatar pig and Indra becoming the pig. Let me see, only one at a time. Only those who haven't answered, I'm going to ask them now. Because the same hands which answered in the beginning of the class are raising now. So those hands can be put down. Those who didn't answer, I'm going to ask them. Kapil, one difference you can tell? Kapil? You all understood my question? Okay, somebody can repeat my question. Let me see if the question is clear. Who can repeat the question? No, somebody else. Somebody hasn't answered. Yes? No, I didn't ask you. I'm going to ask you. Okay, you can tell. Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Please tell me. What are the? Yeah? You need the mic? Yes, Mati. I wanted an answer from you. Who can tell the question? Yes? Abhishek. Yes, what are the five differences I was asking? So one difference, who can say? Now you all can raise hands, only you should not say. You know, in meetings, how we take meetings? You have to just raise hands. When you get the opportunity, only that time you can tell. So if you know the answer, you can raise hands. I'll be happy depending on how many hands are raised. So please kindly raise your hand. Of course, you should know the answer, huh? So almost half the hands are raising. You can raise hand even if you know one answer. That means even if you know one difference between these two pigs, you can raise your hand. Even if you know one difference. Mother, you know one difference? She is feeling shy to say, please, sir. No problem. Tell one difference. Yes. You know it? Anybody else? Now you can raise hand. I'll ask you. Mother, you yourself, yeah. One. She is saying Varahadev, Lord comes at his own will and wish. He comes. Whereas Indra was forced to be born as a pig. Later on, you know, Brahma came to take him back and all, isn't it? That's one difference. Second, you can say, Abhishek, you have spoken already, you told the question, no? What about other hands? Many hands are up. Sandeep Jangam? Correct. Indra forgot his position as in the constitution position. Actually, he didn't even remember that I am pure spirit soul, you know. All that he didn't remember. He completely forgot himself. So, Indra is put to forgetfulness while Varahadev? Lord is never put to forgetfulness. That's second thing, yeah. No. He's saying Indra forgot that he is Indra also. Yeah, that is second difference. Third difference, so can say. Who hasn't answered? I said, you all have answered already. Yes, Mataji, yes. She is saying, Varaja's body is purely spiritual, Satchidananda Vigraha. Whereas Indra's body was material, made of Panchabhuta. That is third difference. Fourth, Mukundan Prabhu? Indra got attached to the material situation and wanted to stay in this world due to material attachment. Lord can never be touched by matter. Yes? Different difference. Devotee is glorifying the Lord's Varahadeva appearance form, whereas they condemn. Yeah. Any other difference? There are some more differences. It appears there are more than five. Who else was raising hands? Who has an answer till now? Those who have answered, you won't get a second chance. So, yes, Janashinga Prabhu. It's saying Varahadev's form was very effulgent and bright, whereas Indra's peak form was very ugly looking. Anybody else has an answer? You have answered one question, I think, before. Now, Prabhuji has answered more now. Mataji, say somebody. Yes, Mataji. Yes. It's the same point of forgetfulness. The forgetfulness point, yeah. Lord never forgets, but Indra as a pig forgot his question, yeah. Yeah. Anybody else has an answer? Mr. Pala, do you answer? Ah, yes. He's saying Varahadev came to protect the devotees while Indra came to suffer his karma. Yeah. Still anybody left? Any other answer? Hey, still you have a new answer, is it? You have some other answer?
Yeah.
Oh, that is, yeah, same. Yeah. So it appears that devotees understand this concept very clearly, I think, isn't it? Special material. Lord does miraculous feats which an average, ordinary living entity cannot do. He is saying, Lord does pastime and the living entity does time pass. In the material world. Good, huh? Isn't it? Who told this? Gauranga told this? Yeah. Good point, isn't it? Lord comes to perform pastimes and we come to time pass. He says Lord remains the Lord in any condition, any type of form in which he expands. But Indra, he lost his post and he was suffering. And so, yes, Lord never suffers, Lord always enjoys actually. Even apparently, it appears like Lord Ram was crying for Sita. That's not considered suffering. It's a voluntarily accepted enjoyment. Lord is transcendent to all the realities. Yeah. So in this way, Krishna stands above everyone and everything as the last word in transcendence. That's why these Panchapasana worshippers, they are under grand illusion, thinking that you can worship any one of these forms which you like, and Brahman is supreme. Krishna says, Brahmanohi Pradishta Aham. I am actually the support of the Brahman. Lord says that. In fact, in the Vedanta Sutra, it is explained, Rasavai Saha, I don't remember the second line, it explains that the absolute truth is a reservoir of all pleasure, and that truth stands even beyond the Parabrahman. See, we are called Brahman, and then impersonal Brahman is called as Parabrahman, and Lord is called as Paratpara Tattvam. The Brahman is Paratattvam, but Lord is Paratpara Tattvam. Paratpara means para plus para becomes paratparam. So he stands even beyond Brahman, which means that Brahman is subordinate to him. It's explained in Vedanta Sutra like that. So Lord has this personality form which is eternal. Lord's body is indestructible. And Lord Krishna wants us to surrender to him, understanding this kind of personality form, with this understanding which you all told just now. Like this. So we'll recite next verse, text 17.
पिता हमस्य जगतो माता धाता पितामह वेद्यं पवित्रमोंकार ऋग्सामयजुरेव च
I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support and the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier and the syllable Om. I am also the Rig, the Sama, and the Yajurvedas. So Krishna is telling all these things. Again, Rig, Sama, Yajurveda is saying, he is telling this Karmakandis, that you all are reciting this different Vedas, that's also me. Rig, Sama, Yajurveda is saying. Similarly, he is saying, I am the mother, I am the father. How Krishna is the father? Father is the one who gives the seed, isn't it? So, Aham Bija Pradhapita. He says, I am the seed giving father. And how Krishna is mother? He says, Dhinname Prakriti Rashtadha. Isn't it? Bhumi Rapo Analo Vayu Kammana Buddhi Revacha Ahankara iti yamme vinname prakatashada. So this energy, material energy also comes from Krishna only. So in that sense Krishna is mother also, in that sense. And and Lord says the support, dhata, pitamaha, and I am the grandsire, and I am the object of knowledge, the purifier, syllable Om, which is chanted in the Yajnik mantras, Omkar, and I am also all the Vedas. So in the same way he is explaining that I am the mother and father of everyone, because for any conditioned soul, you will see that there is a very strong attachment to mother and father. People feel that, of course it is right also, one should do one's duty to mother and father. Prabhupada explains that a child should feel that when he was such a small child, my parents lifted me, they caressed me, they raised me, they took care of me when I was sick, and they gave me education, they have brought me to this status and position in life, and I did not know, not even know who am I. So one should be grateful to the parents, there is no doubt about that. But here Krishna says, I am the ultimate mata, I am the ultimate pita. Because some are attracted to the feminine form of God. So there are people arguing that whether God is masculine or feminine. So some people are attracted to Devi or they worship like that. But Lord Yoga says, I am mata also for you. I am mata also, I am pita also for you. I am your mother, I am your father. You remember I was telling a verse last time? Tvameva mata cha pita tvameva. Tvameva bandushcha sakha tvameva, tvameva vidyadravinam tvameva, tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. So that is the prayer of a devotee. Lord says the same thing, tvameva mata cha pita tvameva. You are the mother, you are the father, you are the bandhu, you are the sakha, you are the dravinam, my wealth also is you, and you are everything for me, mama deva deva, you are sarvam, you are everything for me. There are actually many great songs sung by devotees. Oh Lord, you are the morning, you are the evening, you are the night, you are everything. And so devotees can feel that the everything that comes in their life is actually a manifestation of God. Again, yomam pasyati sarvatra sarvam chamayi pasyati tasyaham na pranashyami sathime na pranashyati. So they see that everything is a manifestation of Krishna in their lives. Like somebody gives prasad, they immediately see it as Krishna. This is remnants of food eaten by Krishna. So at once Krishna comes in the mind. As soon as they see a devotee, immediately Krishna comes in their mind. Oh, this is a devotee of Krishna. So everything they can see it as some energy of Krishna. Or something as a tadiya of Krishna. Called tadiya. Tadiya means paraphernalia of Krishna. They can see like that. So Krishna is saying here that all these things, Rig, Sama, Yajur and all these things, the syllable Om, everything actually comes from me. In fact, I am your mother, I am your father, I am your end. So just like if you are attached to your mother and father, then see me in your mother and father. That means sometimes people ask us, I don't feel any love for Krishna, I have been chanting Hare Krishna, I come to temple, I look at Krishna. Somehow, he looks like my competitor, I don't feel any, attraction for Krishna. Actually, conditioned souls feel Krishna is their competitor. But how will you feel attraction for Krishna? Pitahamasya jagato mata. So, I used to ask the boys, do you feel love for your father? Yes, why not? Do you feel love for your mother? Yes. So that love is a small, tiny trace of the original love that you have for Krishna. As you tell them, yes, it is true. So, because who is your father's father? Your grandfather, isn't it? He had a father, and he had a father. If you go on, where will you end? Brahma. Brahma is the first great living being. And who is Brahma's father? Vishnu. From Vishnu's Pankajanabhi is born, isn't it? So this is finally you will end at Krishna. You will see that. So every son had affection for the father. So Krishna says, I am the ultimate father. I am the father of all fathers. This is Prapitamaha also. Another place he will say, I am Pitamaha, I am everything. In this way, he is the father of all fathers. So naturally one has affection, isn't it? In fact, children have sometimes more affection for the grandfather. You've seen that? Than their own father. So what is that? That means Krishna is the greatest grandfather. We should have the maximum affection for him. Isn't it? So in this way, in this verse also, Krishna is telling similar things. In the next verse also, which we recited. Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhra Prabhava Pralayastanam Nidhanam Bidam Avyayam. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place and the eternal seed. Here also Krishna says many things. He is saying, I am the Gati. Gati is the ultimate destination, isn't it? Anybody can recite any verse in which the word Gati is contained? There are many verses by which you can understand the meaning of Gati very easily. There are two verses. Paramam Gataha. In Bhagavad Gita it comes here. Yes. Narayana? What is that verse? Gatihi, Vasudeva para Gatihi, that word Gati, sir. Lord Vasudeva is the ultimate Gati, Besides that, there are two interesting verses, very famous. I'll give you a clue. Prahlad Maharaj tells his father in one verse. It's a very famous verse. Nate vidusvata gatim hi Vishnu durasayaye bahirartamaninah andaya tandeirupaneyamanas Tepishatantriya murudhamni baddaha. So he's saying, Nate vidhu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. Gatim. So he's talking about the gati. People do not know that achieving the Lord's feet is the ultimate gati. One more verse. Anyway, that verse is from Bhagavad Gita, like Gadaha. There are many verses. Gati Ranyata, correct. Gati, I caught the pun. Gati Ranyata, correct. That's not the Gati. So, we all are looking for a shoulder to lean upon in our lives. Nobody can say no to this. Everyone is looking for somebody on whom you can bang. Like a girl wants to marry, she will check a boy, whether he is earning enough salary, he is coming from a good family. Whether this fellow can give me protection lifelong. He shouldn't become bankrupt tomorrow, you know. So this is, you want to bank upon someone, isn't it? And similarly, when she's at home, she's banking upon the father to give protection. Similarly, a whole family depends on the leader of the family to bank upon that. Similarly, a whole state banks upon the chief minister. Similarly, a whole country on the prime minister, whatever. So everyone is banking upon another for security, safety, protection. So everyone has a fear. They want somebody to assure them, reassure them that don't fear, I am there to give you protection, like that. That is why we have changing gatis, changing destinations, isn't it? Like you will see that you take shelter of one person, like you know people sometimes take shelter of one company and they see that this company is small, they may kick me out anytime. They take gati, shelter of another company, much bigger company. Sometimes even big companies, they throw people out. So the point is, in this world there is no permanent gati in this world. Standing on any platform is like standing on a manhole in this world. Any time the lid will be removed. Just imagine if somebody removes the lid from inside, you will fall into the ditch. So it's standing on a tottering platform in this world. There is no permanent gati in this world. Although people think, just like when you are surrounded by relatives and friends, sometimes you feel very proud. Sometimes you go to marriages, you find there are so many relatives and friends who are asking about your well-being and you really think, oh, the world is wonderful. So many people ask about me and about my family and I know I have many people to support me. Even if something goes wrong in my life, there are so many people to take care of me. But actually when you are really in trouble, they will run away. Many people, you know, they will not even talk to us. Generally in this world, it's very difficult to get a gati destination where we can, now say that, now I am a free bird. I have nothing to worry. You can't say like that. Except Krishna's lotus feet. Except Krishna's lotus feet. That's why Krishna's, somebody can quote a verse from Krishna about Krishna's lotus feet to be the ultimate gati. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitam maam visame bhavam buddha Kripaya tava pada pankaja sthitaduri sadrisham vichintaya. Wonderful, beautiful example here. Because this is, she is saying Pantastha Koti, in that, that is described by Lord Sri Krishna. Savai Manakrishna Padaravindiyo. Because if you take shelter of Krishna Tvadiya Pada Pankaja Panjaranto, so if you take that shelter of Krishna's feet, then one's mind can rest in peace. Then we can be at peace. Of course, it's not that a devotee's body will not grow old, a devotee's body will not perish. Our body will grow old, it will die. But then, having taken Krishna's shelter, then one has no anxiety after that. You will see that we gradually come out of fear. You can see that we, as you progress, in our Krishna conscious progress, you can see that we are coming out of, from a feverish state to a healthy state. From a fearful state to a stage of fearlessness. You can see that. That's what Krishna is saying, I am the Gati, I am the Bharta, the master. Bharta means husband or master. I am Sakshi. Sakshi means I am the witness. And Nivasa Sharanam Surya. I will tell what Prabhupada says about this. In his lecture, he says, every moment you are flattering someone who is greater than you. But why don't you come to me? Krishna is asking. You cannot live without flattering your boss. That is your position. Then why don't you come to me? Krishna is asking. So Prabhupada is saying like that. So for the Nivasa Sharanam Surya, Father Prabhupada is saying like this. So he is saying in this world, everyone is flattering someone or the other. Especially you have to flatter your boss, Prabhupada is saying. Otherwise, you have a threat of being laid off. So, Krishna says here, if you glorify me, you will never have to return to the material world. You will always be with me in the spiritual sky. But otherwise, you have to be keeping on flattering one after another so many people. This was just to maintain your position. So, we can be either directly in touch with the Lord, or we can be indirectly in touch. For example, say somebody can be a constable, police constable. He is working with government, isn't it? On the other hand, somebody is son of a president, isn't it? Is there difference or there is no difference? There is such a gulf of difference between the two. Prabhupada is giving two examples here. He is saying, if you want to be directly in touch with president, then you have to work differently. And if you are satisfied to become a constable in government service, that is a different thing, Prabhupada is saying. A wonderful thing. This can be explained. For example, say you decide that you just want to become a friend of Vajpayee, the Prime Minister of India, and you have no other goal. You like him for his qualities. I don't know how many of you know about Kalam. Kalam is called as Kalam Iyer in South India. He is very famous. Because when he goes to South, he used to go to the Shankaramat and many places. He used to read Bhagavad Gita. He would consult the sadhus. Probably he must have been in a Brahmana body in the previous lifetime, I think. So, Abdul Kalam. President. He's still president, no? Because we don't know the things changing. So, say if somebody has appreciation, say you want to be a friend of Kalam, and you don't expect, so you have to work in a different way, Prabhupada saying. But otherwise, you can be working under the president even as a constable in a police station, isn't it? Anybody can do that. You can say that I am connected to the president of India. How? I am a constable in the police chowki, in this local police chowki I am working. I am also working with government of India. Like that. But if you want to develop friendship with him, that's a different procedure. Similarly, with Krishna also. Say you want to develop a personal relation, what should you do? Wake up every morning. Call Krishna's names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So this is a call of surrender. So we are calling Krishna. Krishna, I want to be your friend. I want to be your relative. I want to be your servant. So we call Krishna's name. Then we bathe him. Then we dress him. We offer him incense. We offer him ghee lamp. And we are developing striking a personal relationship with him. Then we read the Shastras, know more about him, who Krishna is, and what is his nature, and what does he expect from me. So understand that he wants me to simply love him without any material motivations, without any ulterior motives. So we are trying to prepare our mind, our body and our everything fit enough to reach Krishna back, isn't it? So we are preparing our life so that we can be back with Krishna like that. So that's what Prabhupada means when he says, if you want to be directly in touch with the Lord, then you have to work differently. But if you are satisfied being a constable, then it's a different thing. he says. That means, you know, somebody says, no, 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 I don't mind as long as my pocket is full and I have my own house and things to enjoy in life, I am happy. Then you worship Shakti, you worship Shiva, you worship Ganesh, and you will be getting this material facilities and be there. And you can also say, I am worshipping the ultimate God, some or other, through a different route. So, Abhidhi Purvakam, as Krishna says. So, Prabhupada explains so wonderfully. So, this way Krishna explains, Prabhava pralayasthanam nidhanam bijam avyam. Again, the word bija explains, I am the source of everything. So, in these verses, in this way Krishna is showing how he is the source of everything. Actually, we were discussing something similar to this in 7th chapter also, when Krishna was describing about the demigods, if you remember. He was trying to tell the reader of Bhagavad Gita, or to Arjuna also, in turn to every living entity, that you know, you are worshipping the demigod, but do you know that demigods have no ability to even inspire their followers to worship them? He said, it is me who infuses that inspiration in the heart of the living entity to worship the demigods, according to their desires. Krishna says. And also he said, do you know that whatever benediction the demigods offer, that is not given by them. That's actually offered by me to them. And then they give it to their followers. So in this way, from that way, Krishna actually explains from various ways. Same thing Krishna is doing here. So in this way we can understand that ultimately Bhagavad Gita is aiming at a pinpointed surrender to Krishna. Tasmadekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati shotavyah kirtitavyascha smartavyascheccha kabhayam. Tasmadekena manasa is a pinpointed focus. Maam ekam sharanam vraja. Ekam, that one pointed focus. Eka bhakti rishishyate. What is that verse? Priyohinyananottartam aham satyamama priyah. Tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhakti rishishyate. So this eka bhakti is being explained. So Krishna is explaining through different routes to inspire them. Ultimately Krishna just inspires and leaves them. He doesn't force any living entity. Even at the end of Bhagavad Gita you will see Krishna says, yathe chasi tathapuru. Okay, I have done my job. I have told you the truth. And it's for you to follow. If you want to surrender to me, otherwise, you do whatever you want. Otherwise, the living entity can continue to struggle here and there, wandering. So, we all are very fortunate because we got connected to Srila Prabhupada, who exactly represents Krishna's words. Just like Krishna is repeatedly inspiring us to surrender to him, so Prabhupada also hammers in all his purports, in his lectures, in his speeches, so wonderfully that once you surrender to Krishna alone, once you have this pinpointed surrender to him. Vyavasayatmika buddhi, he says that, yeah. But do we offend demigods like Durga or Shiva or Ganesh? No. We see them as parts and parcels of Krishna and we respect them also. Actually, anybody who has understood Krishna can never offend the demigods. They can never disrespect demigods. Even if you are going in the road, you see a Ganesh temple, you should immediately offer respects. Ganesha, Durga, Shiva, anybody. Knowing that, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered respects when he went to South India, he went to Shiva temples, like that. Because he understood that these are all devatas who are exhibiting different vibhutis of Krishna. But ultimately they are servants of Krishna. Ayakalaishwara Krishna, Arasabhapratya, like that. So we will proceed further. There are similar verses which will come in the same series, till the verse 24th verse. Hare Krishna. Any question? One question. Purana is given. If you do this worship of demigod, then they will give this. He is asking, in many Puranas it is promised that if you worship this demigod, then you will get this particular fruit. It's promised. So seeing that particular, you know, benefit, people worship the demigods. So is that not actually the attraction of demigods? Actually, they have no genuine attraction. See, attraction can... Actually, the attraction word is a very special word. They are doing for some material benefit. That material benefit can be attraction for them. Not the demigods themselves. Like, why are we attracted to Krishna? See, we are attracted to Krishna for his beauty. For all, not only his opulences, for his personality himself, the way he behaves with his devotees. See, he behaves with the devotees out of pure love. He doesn't expect anything. Somebody is poor, somebody is rich, educated, uneducated. He doesn't see any categorization. He just accepts pure, innocent devotion. Accepts. So we are attracted to Krishna for that, isn't it? But demigods don't have any such quality to attract their followers. So people are attracted to demigods only because some kind of, they think, you know, I want to get this particular thing. So they are attracted to him. And once they get that, then they go away. We are telling the Durga example, he is saying, Shiva, how Vrikas was, afterwards he wanted to, you know, Basmasarya, yes. Yeah, Basmasarya. Somebody has a question, yeah? I don't think there is any parallel, one-to-one parallel, because there are many people who never met Prabhupada personally. They took Diksha from Prabhupada probably once, you know, that's the only time they met him. After that, they never ever got to be with him or serve him as a personal servant. And today, they are all big gurus in ISKCON. And they are attracting thousands and thousands of people worldwide. Whereas other disciples got very personal association of Prabhupada. They were like his inside circle men in his days. So just because a particular person was not in Prabhupada's inside circle of 11 or 12 people, no, he doesn't become inferior. There are many, many people like that. In fact, Pranachandra was telling me, he is Prabhupada's disciple, you know. He took in 77 or 76. Or so, you know, like that. So he, just before Prabhupada left, they took. So they couldn't be with Prabhupada and know Prabhupada so intimately. They are understanding Prabhupada just like you and me. By reading his books, hearing his tapes, they are understanding what kind of personality was Prabhupada. They didn't know him at all. But even such people can lead this worldwide movement very nicely. It's possible. So Vani is given prime importance in that connection. Even here also, when we talk of developing personal relation with Krishna, it is actually following the Vani of Krishna. Yeah. Like we are worshipping Krishna, why? Because Krishna tells us to worship. We are chanting Hare Krishna, why? Because He tells us to chant. So if you don't follow the Lord's instruction, then we can never become His close associate. If somebody only has eagerness to see Krishna, but they don't do what Krishna says, can they meet Him? No. I made observation that in all the Vaishnavacharya prayers, they always keep begging for seva only. See in Tulasi Arati, what do we pray? Seva adhikaradi. So why don't we pray that please give me opportunity to have darshan of Krishna? Do you see that? You don't see that. In all the prayers they always say that, you know. Of course there may be some songs where, you know, here you go, Mukachandra, you know. Let me see the Lord's face, let me apply Chandan. There also, after seeing the Lord, what do they want to do? Want to do some service. That means the desire for service is more important than wanting to simply see the Lord. Yeah. What are you going to do? Imagine that all of a sudden now Radha Krishna comes in our front. What will we do by seeing them? Some many people think, you know, if you once see them, you know, that's all. Then I'll be a pure devotee, I will give up everything. People think like that. Arjuna was saying day in and day out. He was saying Krishna's day in and day out. But he never realized Krishna. So seva is more important. Similarly, even if one is not, say for example, one of us is not known by the spiritual master so much. But he faithfully follows instruction wherever you are. Like there are many Matajis, for example, they get initiated, they don't even know the language of the spiritual master. In their own kitchen, they are cooking and offering bhoga, but they have developed love for the Guru. When they see the Guru Shisha Parampara, they are grateful to the Guru for delivering them from this world and introducing them to Krishna. And they are cooking and offering bhoga every day, faithfully, loyally, and they are following the principles, strictly following to the instructions. So they don't have to know Him personally. At all, they will go back to Godhead. On the other hand, people who are very close to Guru, and there is no assurance that they will go back just because they are right next to Him. What they do is very important by being next to Him. One last question. Bitter pill is the name of Hari. And the sugar coating are the benefits offered by the demigods. By performing their sacrifices, that you will get Putra Bhagyam, Dhana Bhagyam, this Bhagyam, that Bhagyam, all that Bhagyam. That is promise. Now you may ask, why Hari's name is bitter? You know, one may ask a question, Hari's name is so sweet, why is it bitter? Generally, Karmakandi Brahmans are very afraid of Hari, because Hari is one who will take away, you know, they are afraid. So they are afraid that if you go to Lord Hari, like Parikshit asked this question to Shukadeva Goswami, you know, why devotees of Krishna are not so rich and why Shiva's worshippers are so rich. Now you are asking this question. So generally they feel that they don't want to worship Krishna, they worship everyone else. Because they worship Shiva, Durga, they give you a lot of material benefits. like that. So, and also, we were calling it Hari as bitter pill, I mean bitterness, because Lord Hari demands a very high surrender. Like in our moment, the current kind of surrender we expect in ISKCON, when people see this, they will faint if outside people see this. Like the four regulative principles. We follow no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And we follow many subtle principles. Like in South India, for them to give up coffee, they are almost a Herculean task. So they don't drink coffee, they drink filter coffee. Very tough. So different people have different things difficult to give up. So giving onion, garlic, giving coffee, tea, all these things which people follow, is very difficult. And also chanting 16 malas every day, 2 hours. It's a very big thing for many people. Not only that, living for the sake of Guru, living a pure Krishna conscious lifestyle. In fact, when devotees become very advanced, they don't even go to movies, they don't go to parties, they are not interested in worldly things. They want to actually cultivate association of good devotees only. They want to be with devotees. Like you will see many of the senior devotees, all their whole week is packed with meeting devotees only. Like that. So they live their life like that. So for a common man, these things are like very difficult to surrender. Things like that. So it's considered bitter. But that medicine is given along with the sugar coating of some metal benefits. Is clear now? Yeah. That's a medicine, yeah. That's a medicine, yeah. She is clarifying that although it is bitter, it is medicine, he's saying. Yeah. And medicine should be taken to cure our disease of Bhavarog. Bhavarog is our disease. Bhavarog. Otherwise, you know, the more you get metal benefits, the more you'll be enjoying birth after birth. There is no end only for that. People ask, you know, then why to go to Krishna? Better go to demigods, you know. They give you what you want. Of course, they'll give you what you want, but do you think you can enjoy that? You cannot. You tell me one demigod worshipper who happily lived ever after. Ravana. He was worshipping Shiva. Was he happy ever after? Mahishi. Mahishi was worshipping Brahma. Brahma Devaya Namah. That was her mantra. What happened to her? She was killed by Mahishasura later. And similarly, Hiranyakashipu. See? You cannot find one demigod worshipper who said, now my dear demigod, you have given me all that I wanted, now I surrender into your feet, now I am completely satisfied. You will never find that. Brahma also never knew happy. Yeah, in anxiety. So everyone is in anxiety. So when one becomes a pure devotee, then he becomes completely peaceful. And many devotees may be murmuring in the heart, what about me, I am not peaceful. We are not yet pure devotees. So we are not peaceful. Pure devotee is supposed to be peaceful. Pure devotee will completely become peaceful. What is that verse? Prashantatma. Sudullava Prashantatma Kotishavi Mahamune. Yeah, devotee is completely peaceful. Devotee has no greed. Santushta Sattam Yogi Yadatma Dhadamishchaya. I think we will stop here. We'll look at that.